So I'm just going to go ahead and go into the first question, and that's just telling me a little bit about yourself as far as your background, or if you want to go into your family or any hobbies you have, if you have any pets or education or whatever else you would like to disclose.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Shaunak Taraga. I am a graduate of NC State, graduated in 2016 with a dual degree in electrical and computer engineering. I was born in Texas, but grew up when I was younger in New York City. And then when I was around 9, moved to North Carolina, to Chapel Hill. And so was in North Carolina up and through college. Both of my parents, kind of growing up, they are scientists. My dad currently works as a pharmacist at Duke University, but his background is in microbiology, and my mom's background is in immunology. So growing up, I was really surrounded by, going to the lab with them, doing a lot of interesting work in regards to, just like playing around with science books all the time. Another big, so for me, like, I was always a voracious reader, and kind of science was always something that was of interest, mostly because my parents were, always kind of surrounding me with that. Another big important piece of it too was my mom is actually a music teacher. She's trained in Indian classical music and plays the veena, which is kind of like the bass of the Indian string family, similar to the sitar, but a little different. And so, at a young age, it was also important that the arts were all really important. So I grew up playing piano, taught myself guitar, sang a cappella all through college and high school. In addition to science and, really like hard science and research, art is also something that I'm really interested in and something that I find myself doing in my free time.
Perfect. So that sounds like you're very well-rounded, which is wonderful. It's always nice to be that way, especially if you have a creative mind.
Yeah.
Do you have any pets, by the way?
I don't. So, okay. I grew up, so every summer I would go, to India to visit, when I was younger at least, like elementary school, middle school, to my grandmother's house in South India, which both my parents are from, and they had a dog, and I would always call him my dog, kind of grew up with the dog, and it was amazing. It was a Pomeranian that lived 19 years.
Wow.
And funny enough, so my entire family is vegetarian. So my grandmother would never bring meat or anything into the house or even dog food with meat. And so the dog was also a vegetarian dog for 19 years, completely
healthy,
which is really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So you've had an interest in animals and a love for animals. I'm just wondering like where the passion came from for the company that you guys were starting, Bark.
Yeah. I mean, I've always, growing up, but then also, it was something where, growing up in New York and living in an apartment, most people didn't have dogs, and most apartments didn't own, allow for pets. And so it was only until I came to North Carolina that, neighbors had dogs. I'd always just kind of be in and around people that had dogs. And so, animals are really important to me, and, it's great.
Okay, perfect. And so what are some of the challenges that you faced when you were getting started with Bark?
Yeah, so Bark really started as an idea. I guess we can start there, and then I guess we can go on to challenges. It kind of matriculated when I was a sophomore in college. So as an electrical engineering student, we're also required to take a lot of different other classes from other, other colleges. In the arts, liberal studies, and things like that. And one of the requirements for engineers, at least, was to either take a engineering writing course, but they also had an option for an entrepreneurship course. And so I opted for that. I kind of had an interest in entrepreneurship. I knew that, you know, I have talents in a lot of different places, not just being a scientist, but also being an artist, that I had some skills as a leader and as a good public speaker, you know, and you know, everyone's like, you know, man, what are you going to do? You have all these great ideas. And so joining that class was great because it actually took place in a startup incubator in downtown Raleigh called HQ Raleigh.
I've heard of that place, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, it's a startup incubator, but they have this really awesome program called North Carolina State University Entrepreneurship Clinic. And so I was able to take one credit hour class, but that one credit hour class, I mean, I was definitely putting way more work just because, you know, I was just so into it. It was so fun. I got to work with business students, so that was the first time I got to work with students and be in a classroom setting with students completely outside of my major. And the idea was that, you know, they gave us some training on, you know, basic entrepreneurship, but we got to be able, you know, be clinicians with local startups. So these are companies that, you know, were just getting started, maybe had some funding, maybe getting ready for a Series A of some kind. But, you know, they're local to Raleigh and they're in, you know, in the incubator. And so we were, you know, able to kind of work with them, and I just loved it. I just ate it up. And I kept thinking about, you know, what are some of the things that I truly care about? You know, what are some things that, as a part of my experience, do I love? And a lot of that had to drive to, you know, was easy to answer because it had to do with, you know, one of the reasons I decided to go the path of engineering and become an engineer. You know, growing up in New York City, infrastructure is so important. You have buses, you have trains. Even just living in an apartment building, if you grew up in the South, you know, you're used to driving less places,
yeah.
Or, you know, you're used to communities that are, you know, not, you know, your neighbor, even if, you know, you're not sharing walls with them, right? And so, living in New York, you see that the power of community and the power of kind of, there's also a degree of efficiency when you have a lot of infrastructure that's intertwined. A bunch of people living in an apartment building isn't more efficient because you can service them a lot better, right? But from that's the engineering perspective. But from my other, you know, the other half of my brain where I'm thinking about, you know, from the community aspect, you know, growing up, I knew all of my neighbors. You know, if my parents were running late, you know, after work one day, you know, I would stay at the neighbor's house or, you know, until they came home for dinner time or things like that. And, you know, I knew, you know, by first name, all of the people that worked in the small little shops that lived in my neighborhood. And so to that extent, I think that infrastructure and design, urban design specifically, has a really big place in, you know, how people and communities are built, accessibility to certain kind of things. And the reason I wanted to become an electrical engineer was because I was interested in infrastructure projects as a whole, and maybe learning about that. So that's kind of where my roots in engineering started and kind of how I was trying to thread together a lot of pieces in my life as well as things that interested me.
Yeah.
And so when I was in college, I was trying to think, well, an entrepreneur and some of the best businesses are ones that are the most resourceful, that you could take, in my mind, the best entrepreneur is someone that you could give $100 and that person's going to take that $100 farther than anyone else.
Yes.
Right. And it's something that I really value in some of the mentors that I have gotten to work with, but also something that I continuously think about. And so, I knew that Raleigh was growing a lot. You know, one of the metrics is that 40 people move into the Triangle area every day, which is incredible.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, it's a hotbed for a bunch of different companies coming in there, primarily fueled by the research that's going on within the many universities in the area. And so I was trying to think, like, great, we have people moving to this area, but what makes, you know, the Triangle area special? You know, what are some cultural things? What are some venues or what are some things that people would really want to enhance their living situation? So I was doing a bunch of research and it kind of dawned on me one day. I was with my friend and, you know, we had just gotten off class and we wanted to go have some dinner with some friends. And he was like, well, I don't think I'll be able to come because I live on the other side of town. And, you know, my my dog's at home, I gotta take my dog out on a walk, and, like, I don't know if I'll get there on time, and all this stuff. And I was like, well, could we find a place to, you know, bring your dog along? You know, could we find a place that everybody can hang out at? And it's surprisingly difficult. I mean, other than a patio, you know, that might have, you know, that's dog friendly, you know, it's kind of restricted for your dog. You know, if your dog needs to go to the restroom, maybe you don't have some green space. And I was like, wow. And I just kept running into that because so many of my friends and people that I worked with, you know, they had dogs and kind of going through the similar experience. And, you know, living in a place like North Carolina, I mean, that's just inexcusable.
Yeah.
I mean, you have so much beautiful outdoor space. You have trails. You have all of this, right? So, I did some research and I found out that like 45% of households in the Triangle area, in the Raleigh area, have at least one dog.
Yes.
Which is an amazing statistic. And on top of that, compounded by the fact that, you know, there's not a lot of entertainment venues, and let's put that as bars, restaurants, you know, theme parks, amusement sites, per person in the area, you know, you're seeing a lot more competition for someone's business in areas like Dallas, and, you know, in Nashville, in Atlanta. And I'm looking at comparators for maybe where Raleigh could be in the next 5 to 10 years, maybe longer than that, but, you know, at least the growth trajectory, and there's a big opportunity to create something. So I was like, could I create a business that's really going to fit into someone's life, but also hit all these different kinds of communities? You have old people owning dogs, you have young people owning dogs, single people, married people, you know, people of all different, you know, races, ethnicities, income levels, right? And it's so cool, you know, to see dogs being like this, a really interesting mediator between different groups of people and how people come together. And so what better way to kind of align my interests and some of the things that, you know, have, you know, made home for me growing up in New York and then moving to North Carolina, than capturing that in a business and in a model that works for a lot of people. So that's kind of how Bark got started. And yeah, I guess I just said a lot. And I guess going back to your original question, which was, you know, what were some challenges? Well, I had no clue where to start. You know, I knew that this was a problem. I kind of started talking to some people. I'm like, you know, what if we had a dog park, but it was a little bit more social? What if we were able to offer beer? You know, what if we were able to offer coffee? Like, kind of create it, make it a place that, you know, even if you don't have a dog, or if you do, like, you could just go there and hang out and be around other people that like the same things, and really solve this problem. And we started out with just, well, it was just me at first. We'll get to my team later, but started out just like question asking and doing some of this research, kind of validating some of the information in regard, you know, statistics that I found in regards to growth in Raleigh, median income, number of households, where dogs live, things like that. And then I started doing a little bit more research into, you know, what people actually thought of the idea of something like this. So going, I physically went to dog parks and asked people, surveyed people, you know, communities like the SPCA, different dog-related rescue community, you know, organizations within the Raleigh area. And I realized that there was a lot that I didn't know. First and foremost, at the end of the day, this is a commercial real estate project. So how are you going to be able to, you know, secure some land, understand how to finance a deal like this, get the right kind of investors? How do you, you know, design a space like this? What is it that you would need? What does the city permitting look like? Are people going to actually buy this thing? How are you going to actually, you know, employ people? All these different questions that are going to be involved with starting any business, but in this particular case, starting a, you know, a brick and mortar. So one of the first challenges was, you know, who's going to help me out with this? Because there's no way I can, you know, I can do all the reading in the world, but how I can build mentorship and get mentorship from people that are already doing this in Raleigh. And so being a part of the clinic, you know, two professors that I just am so grateful for, one, Dr. Lewis Sheets, another one, Marshall Brain, they were, you know, really awesome mentors for me and people that connected me with the people that I needed. Lewis Sheets was able to connect me with some great leaders in the real estate space in Raleigh, as well as some top-notch restaurateurs who have done interesting concepts, as well as investors who, you know, were interested in projects like this and kind of had the same mission and kind of goal in mind. So, and, you know, that was my first step, and then the first challenges were, like, how do I get in front of these people and, you know, kind of create my story and my pitch, and, you know, after that, it was... you know, just kind of tackling each and every bit piece by piece.
Yeah, that it's funny that you say that. I actually graduated from NC State myself, so I am familiar with Professor Sheets, and he was a wonderful teacher.
Yeah.
So I can completely understand how he'd give you those resources and help you out, and it's actually nice to hear that he was able to. And hopefully he's somebody I can reach out to myself in the future when it comes to starting my own business. So with that being said, what continues to motivate you, you and your team, I guess I should say, and how are you able to reward them in a sense, like just to keep them going, you know, keep the team going and happy with everything? I know things have changed recently as far as your plan.
Yeah. Definitely. So one of the things that I think that is really interesting about startup culture, and I want to say startup culture is because it's something that has definitely been propagated in the last few years. It's always kind of been there, but it's almost like a I don't know. Some of the kind of culture around it kind of makes me giggle because you find kind of groups and pockets of people that kind of really like being around the startup culture and kind of talking about startups and things like that, and who kind of propagate the community, which is great. And then people that, you know, are going to, they're probably going to start a business regardless if there's an incubator or some kind of, you know, podcast that they need to listen to. Like, they are so interested in solving some kind of problem or, you know, tinkering with something that they are going to somehow attract, you know, interest, whether it's from investors, other people that want to work for them, opportunities. And I'm actually really interested in the latter. You know, I'm really interested, I think, in what it is like that is going to make you tick in the morning, right? Like, when I wake up, like, I could say, hey, I want to create, you know, a new business that's going to make a ton of money and, you know, employ a bunch of people, and I'm going to get to a certain level of success, and then I'm going to raise this round of money, and I'm going to go to the next level, and then in 10 years, I want to, like, you know, exit. And, like, that's all fine, but what is it that makes you happy, and, like, what interests you? And so for me, for my team, and the team does this for me, is just, like, how am I incentivized to keep learning and improving? So getting, you know, articles right about what other people in the industry are doing, you know, going and visiting new businesses and talking to owners and people that work there about their lives, you know, starting a business is not only about, like, you and, like, the organization, but it's also about the people that are working there. You know, how is this impacting their life? You know, what are their goals and aspirations? And, like, you know, humbling yourself to, like, know that, like, when you do create something, it's never about you. You know, it's about, like, how you can create almost a recursive model that, you know, keeps providing value, generating value, and, you know, generating interest for other people to participate.
That's very true. I totally agree with, like, everything you're saying right now, so I'm very excited about how this interview is going. So how did you meet your team? I know, I think they were also going to NC State, is that correct?
Yeah. So my team with Bark started out with all my, like, really close friends, actually. I was blessed to have a really close group of kids that I was able to become best friends with, like, my freshman year. We were all in engineering and design and all, you know, interested in art, and kind of we found a lot of middle ground in that. But I think one thing that, and I guess I took this for granted when I was in college, but now having left college and thinking about it and maybe asking other people about their experience, is that, you know, my group of friends, even to this day, you know, love to meet up and hang out and kind of do what, you know, young people like to do when we meet up. But at the same time, we're continually challenging ourselves and asking each other about, you know, things that we're working on the side, you know, outside of our day jobs. What are things that are really motivating us? And so this group of people that I met, John and Clara, two really good friends. John I met through the acapella community, actually, in NC State, and then Clara was someone I met the second day of joining NC State. And then later on, my other really good friend, Alex, joined the project. So just met them, you know, kind of through mutual circles, and it's kind of interesting at a place like NC State, even though it's really big, somehow, like, circles kind of bubble up, you know, to the surface.
Yes.
And, like, by the time you're a senior, you kind of, like, know the crews, you know, like,
yeah,
this is my clique, you know, and
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just so lucky to have gone to NC State, a place that attracts really cool talent and people with really diverse background, and being able to make that connection.
Perfect. So how are things going currently? And this is where I expect to hear about the transition to, like, the mobile dog park. How are things going? Are you going to downsize at all? Are you hiring? You currently have any financial struggles or development issues?
Yeah, so basically, we went down a real, real long rabbit hole with this commercial real estate thing. We were talking to a lot of developers, a lot of realtors about finding potential pieces of land, working with the city of Raleigh. The city of Raleigh also has other organizations that are interested in the development piece. One primary one is the Raleigh Downtown Raleigh Alliance. They provide a lot of surveying work as well as research in order to help make determinations on the way that Raleigh should expand and meet some of the goals that the development office sets. Really having a strong understanding of those goals and how we can align with that. Understanding how we could actually raise money with this, the legality around having dogs and alcohol in the same process, you know, in the same place. So
we
did a lot of research, found another really awesome concept called Mutt's Cantina in Dallas, Texas, off-leash dog park with subscription model. Actually flew out there to talk to the owners and you know, visit the park and kind of take notes. So we did kind of everything and really built a robust kind of business model and plan for execution. The place that was really difficult for us to execute on and continues to be so for a lot of new businesses in the Raleigh area is around the permitting piece and, you know, the zoning piece. We found a piece of land over in Peace College at Seaboard Station,
mm-hmm.
and we were on talks about utilizing a piece of land at the back of their property that was ideal for our size, had the parking lot, had the right zoning, had electricity, and we wanted to really test out our concept in a lightweight way by utilizing a shipping container that was going to be our bar, and, you know, kind of putting up mobile bathrooms and things like that. And similar concepts that you see elsewhere, places like San Francisco, Dallas, and other places that I mentioned earlier in the call. And, you know, and it was just interesting because every which way we turned, it just seemed that the amount of capital investment that would be needed to pull it off the way that the city's development office needed us to just wasn't feasible. For example, they needed us to have a full water lines, water service with sewage.
Wow.
You know, and something like that is such a large capital investment that it doesn't make sense as someone that, you know, in our case was trying to lease a piece of property to make that kind of investment. We had a couple, you know, offers from of interest from people that owned pieces of property, but, you know, they didn't necessarily meet some of our expectations in regards to being walkable and, you know, being in a central space where people could have access to it. And so that journey was really difficult. And, you know, with this kind of concept, and like, you know, say if you were to start a clothing store or something like that, you know, we're leasing a piece of property and investing in kind of some leasehold improvements, but it's not something that it's not enough to entice someone with, you know, some hot real estate in the downtown area to, let us do when they could, you know, maybe build a 3 to 4 story building. So it was a mixture of difficulty with the development office, finding the right piece of land, capital, you know, making sense. And so, that's where we had a lot of difficulties, but we ultimately had learned so much. We did so many pop-up dog park kind of events, where we did, like, we worked with, local, dog rescues, and then we would promote the Bark brand and get some interest and, like, ask questions about what people wanted out of a space like this, help get dogs adopted, all at, like, Trophy Brewing and, you know, different breweries. We, generate a lot of survey data. We met a ton of vendors and people that could help us out, local Raleigh brands. And so what we decided was, you know, if the land was going to be difficult, we had already kind of generated ridiculous amounts of knowledge around, you know, how you would actually do Bark,
mm-hmm.
that we decided that we were going to pivot to another concept because we needed to do something, you know?
Yeah.
And so we decided that we were going to, we knew that we were interested in doing something with modular design. And so we decided that we were going to build a mobile bar. And so the mobile bar is now called Bar Box. We have an awesome fabrication and design team in Raleigh called Tactile Workshop that we kind of were introduced to through the Bark process, and they were really great and have helped us create our vision for Bar Box, and is currently complete. And right now, the Bar Box features taps, 4 taps for beer, wine. We can do, like, kombucha and even, handmade sodas. We have an onboard cooler. We have string lights that come out, a sink in it. Basically, it's a mobile bar that we can kind of take anywhere and set up shop. And the idea was that, you know, we could leverage this thing for interesting, you know, social experiences. And right now, our primary target is weddings, private events, you know. We've also been in talks with the city of Raleigh in regards to using it for some of their pop-up events, pop-up dog park events. We love it because it's so lightweight and we're able to kind of get around a lot of the permitting issues, that presented itself with the kind of larger, concept, as a better way to kind of just validate, the market and, like, kind of figure out the service piece from, like, a small mobile container, you know? And so that's where Bar Box is today.
Well, that sounds exciting. I'm actually pretty excited to see you guys at an event. Do you have any coming up?
So right now we are in talks with the city of Raleigh about being at one of their next pop-up dog parks, and that's going to happen on September 9th.
Okay.
Also, a big part of our business, and this is something kind of, a lot of people might scratch their heads and be like, wait, mobile bar, how do you even do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing that in North Carolina, alcohol licensing and permitting is quite, strict.
Yes.
So we're actually partnered with an amazing group called, a business called Four Bar Services, and they are an alcohol catering company. They do more weddings than any other alcohol catering company in the state of North Carolina. They do large events, and so they handle staffing. They handle a lot of our alcohol procurement, so the procurement of the product. So say you were running a private event, or you are a nonprofit and you wanted to do a ticketed event, they'll get beer and wine and, say, liquor for that, so the general supplies, and then we partner with them to actually pull out a lot of these events. So in a way, I guess as an engineer, like, we're the hardware and they're the software, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense, and I guess that takes a lot of stress off of you guys as well.
Yeah, and I think it's also mutual because, you know, they're always looking for ways to better engage with some of their clients, get new business, and so with our offering, we're able to, really cater to some customers with a unique experience. Another big thing is, like, you know, if you wanted to do an event, you wanted local craft, you know, a draft beer, it's actually quite messy and really hard to do with all the equipment that you need. Because it's already built into our container, it simply is hooking up some of the kegs that we might get, and we can serve fresh draft, which is really, really fun. So right now, we are really new. We finished the bar box build just a couple of weeks ago, and we already had our first event with a company called Align Tech. They own one of the brands that they own is Invisalign. So they're located in Cary, and we did a really cool pop-up kind of beer garden in their parking lot as a part of an employee kind of appreciation festival that they had going on. And yeah, it was just so much fun. And right now we're in talks with, as I said, the city of Raleigh, and engaging with venues and potential clients to bring this pop-up beer garden to life. And so right now we're in the stage of just marketing and A/B testing our marketing and the digital piece of the website and Instagram and Facebook and Google AdWords, and also really investing in building relationships with other vendors and venues in the space, especially in the Triangle area.
Okay. Do you think you have, or do you foresee, like, any challenges coming up with this new concept that you guys with the bar box?
Yeah, I mean, challenges are always kind of an interesting thing. I mean, one thing that the team has kind of, said is that, the marker for success for our bar box is really, where can we get to the point where we figure out business operations and, our ideal revenue streams, and, like, how do we actually market? And once we kind of figure that out, I think, like, if we can get to the point where we can build the second one, I think that's going to be a true marker of success, because we want to get to the point where we can build multiple of these. You know, we can not only build them, but build more interesting concepts. In general, the primary business partner, Alex, and me, like, we're just interested in mobile concepts as a whole, and kind of driving back to the interest in urban design, building things like, we're interested in way more than just, like, bars, it's really about bringing communities together. So think about, like, communal public space, maybe affordable housing that you can offer to people with prefabricated homes. There's some of this work that's being done by some amazing companies out there, but, we really want to learn more about that and get into that and, truly help people if we can, and just kind of enrich communities in a way just from the infrastructure piece.
Perfect. Okay, that's great. So in relation to Bar Box, do you guys consider, who do you consider your competition outside of, I guess, regular bars?
Yeah. So the cool thing is like, there's not really much other competition. There's another company called Tipsy Gypsy that has a really cute, a trailer. Their business model is a little different than ours because they're actually providing the alcohol servicing themselves.
Okay.
And primarily how they work is, like, you bring the alcohol and the product, and they serve it for you.
Gotcha.
The real advantage that people would have with our business is, like, we just have volume. We have, Four Bar Services has over 50 bartenders on staff. They're well experienced and well equipped to do large events. With the kind of growth trajectory that we expect from ourselves in terms of engaging more parts of the state and kind of getting out there, we really need to find a partner that could help us get there. So, another big thing is, like, our background. So currently my day job, I work as a software engineer.
Okay.
And so is Alex. So, we are really experienced with building websites and, with the tech piece. I also do some freelance, graphic design work. And so having design in-house and the tech in-house really makes it easy for us to, like, you know, be resourceful and kind of be lean and, like, kind of do a lot of the things that we need to get done by ourselves without having to dish out a ton of money and being kind of control of every little thing that we need, might need to change. So, yeah, we're just really excited. No big competition right now. I mean, there's obviously going to be competition in regards to, like, other mobile concepts. But, you know, we think that, you know, we really love bringing kind of we want to bring a magical experience to people's events and how people interact. And I think that just with our personal experience and our background and kind of, like, our grander vision for the design piece, you know, I'm really excited about, you know, capturing a lot of the momentum, especially from consumers in the Raleigh area for new offerings, and want to just piggyback off of that.
Okay. So I know you mentioned you are a software engineer during the day. So outside of that, when it comes to just being an entrepreneur and starting this business, what do you consider your typical work day? So I guess you get off, and then what do you do?
Yeah, so my bag is 2 laptops and 2 notebooks. So I have my work Mac, you know, that I use for development, and I have a notebook for that, and then I have my side work Mac that I keep in my bag as well. So my typical day starts out, you know, I wake up, you know, in the morning, try to make some time to read email, kind of get through that, take some notes, jot down some thoughts, you know, I'll get to work. And then the nice thing about my job is that, you know, I'm able to kind of, you know, like on my lunch break, I can, like, take some time and, like, you know, maybe read some interesting articles, maybe about tech, you know, for my normal job, or just, like, read general articles about things going on. I really do enjoy reading and kind of informing myself about different elements of design and you know, design trends and things about weddings, stuff like that. Usually when I get home, it usually starts off with a call to Alex, kind of figuring out any emails that we've got and things that we're working on, just kind of a little bit of a stand-up status report.
Mm-hmm.
And then get online. Me and him use Slack a lot for communication. So we're usually online on Slack, and then I get home, and then like to be stressed a little bit. You know, sometimes I'll make time to go to the gym, or if not, I'll, like, cook and, you know, do something else. But, you know, I usually get back at it. And to be honest, you know, the life of an entrepreneur, especially if you're hustling and kind of, you know, working a day job and doing other things, is, you know, is not the most glorious in regards to, like, getting sleep. So
yeah.
I usually, you know, get to bed around 1 or 2 and kind of wake up around 7.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love it, and it's something that keeps me going. And, you know, I think with my other side interest as, like, a musician and all this other stuff, like, I found that it's really important to value kind of, you know, a good balance between work and play. And in my case, working really, 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 really hard most of the time, and then, you know, kind of squeezing in throughout your day opportunities kind of de-stress.
Yeah,
so.
Just some me time. It's hard to fit that in there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So what advice would you give a budding entrepreneur, someone that's aspiring to start their own business, whether it be in your industry or just in general?
Yeah, I would say, you know, in general, when I meet someone who's interested in starting a business or what have you, one of the primary questions I want to ask them is why.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that you want to start this business? If the answer is like, well, I think we can be really successful and I think I can make a lot of money, that,
yeah,
to me, is that you have more interest in, like, ultimately at the end of the day, ideas are cheap. Like, you know, you can have 1,000,001 ideas, but so does everyone else.
Yeah.
And they're all great, and they all solve some kind of specific problem and probably come from a place of understanding that you probably don't. And I think that's really cool, but what are you, at the end of the day, you know, even if the idea didn't work, what makes you tick, and, like, what's going to empower you? I was listening to a podcast recently, and, like, for example, like, say you grew up taking care of an elderly, you know, grandparent or a parent, you know, at a young age. That is going to create some kind of empathy in yourself for the elderly, or for someone of older age or somebody with medical complications, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a distinct advantage in solving some of those problems. So even if you throw 10 darts at the board starting new businesses in that space, you still know that's something that you care about and makes you, like, unique and, like, that, you know, that, and I think that really being honest with yourself about why and what things are important is going to really drive that kind of success for you as a new entrepreneur. And then another question that I would ask someone is, and this is a great one, is that a lot of people have asked me before, is why now? So why is it that you're like, great, you have this idea, you have this passion, you're here for it, you're going to, you know, slave away at this idea, but why is it that this important now? You know, like, you know, say, you know, going back with the healthcare, you know, we have more baby boomers that are retiring at a rapid rate, and we don't have a lot of offerings from a business perspective to cater to a large retirement age. You know, people are trying to invest in companies, but they're just not there.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were to say, hey, I want to start this company because this is unique about the time period that we are in now, or if you're in tech, you're saying, hey, like, I want to issue this kind of identity management software and healthcare for patients because blockchain is a thing that I can build off of now. You know, that's a great, you know, like, and I'm really excited about it. And then there's, you know, a lot of first mover advantage and things like that. Like, that's another thing. It's just, like, figure out why is it important now, and then you're here in that time. So, like, I think those are, like, two things. Like, why is it important to you, and why is it important to our time period and, like, where it is now, right now in society?
Okay. That actually makes perfect sense to me. And I think those are wonderful questions to ask, and I'll actually ask those myself. I at least have the answer to the first question, but the second one is actually one that I never thought of as far as why now. So I'll definitely have to think about that for my own entrepreneurial, like, aspirations. So when entering into a profession like yours or just becoming an entrepreneur, do you have or recommend any formal education or specialized training of any sort, certifications or licensures, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, for one, know your industry. Like, if say you want to solve, like, I you know, I met this guy that was, you know, thought of this really cool idea about making it easier for crane operators to safely, like, pick things up and drop them off on a construction site. Like, that's a great problem to solve, but, like, it's also a kind of thing that's going to be really hard for you to solve if, like, you don't, say, have access to a construction site and crane operators, right? Like,
yeah.
That's just, like, a little tough. You know, for me, I did work as a bartender in college a little bit. I've worked at restaurants in the service industry. You know, I've worked as a designer, and, like, I've managed some people, you know, maybe it was not directly a business, but, like, you know, like, in college, like, a student organization, being a leader in general. So, like, I definitely think that, you know, a formal education is not entirely important, but
mm-hmm.
if you do have the opportunity to get more familiarity with, like, the people that you might be selling to, the kind of people that you might need to employ, the kind of industry or the day-to-day tasks. And if you don't possess those skills, like, definitely seek that out, like, yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, so is there, do you guys have any company literature, whether it's brochures or any type of business cards, things like that, that you would be able to send me? I don't know if I can give you my address, I can email that to you later, but I don't know if you guys have any physical copies of anything. Maybe I could get multiple copies and hand things out and just put it on the blog that I have for my class as well, and just, you know, spread the word about your new company.
Totally. I do have a kind of informational guide about some of the research that we did for Mark.
Okay.
Concept. I think that would definitely be something that I would like to share with you, maybe not with a ton of people.
Gotcha. Okay.
Just so you, I mean, for your personal learning,
yeah,
you kind of figure out how we did the branding. I would love to share that with you.
Okay.
And then number two, I could send you some of our website materials, you know, some, maybe some of our our plans kind of moving forward. I have a little like picture slideshow of our journey with BarBox. So definitely share that stuff with you. We have our website, barbox.co, barbox.co.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on there. You can also find us at Instagram and Facebook at BarBox Raleigh.
Okay.
And, of course, our email, barboxcompany@gmail.com. A lot of information on there, more to come. We're really trying to figure out some of our branding and some of the opportunity to kind of create marketing collateral. And one of those things is, like, especially being in the wedding space, like, exploring what marriage looks like. I mean, that's such an interesting thing in different communities and different cultures, and it's so beautiful to see that, especially how that plays out in a diverse place like, you know, the Triangle area. So maybe trying to capture some of those stories and blog about it, maybe feature the BarBox, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ideas, but yeah, I could definitely share some stuff with you.
Okay, perfect. So, and I just have two, I think we have two more things left, and then I can let you go. I don't want to hold you up too long. So, do you have any other business contacts that would be interested in doing an interview like you just did? It doesn't have to be with your own company, but anyone else that you think may want their name out there a little bit more that's starting a company, or maybe one that's already successful and would just not mind, you know, the advertising, basically.
Yeah, totally. Well, my business partner, probably give you a similar story. He kind of, he's my best friend. Funny enough, we grew up in New York together, and so a lot of, like, you know, growing up in New York City and Queens, like, kind of had a similar upbringing, and also, like, the first generation American experience. So, like, I think that it'd be really interesting to kind of talk to him about his journey. So his name is Alex Leonov, and, you know, he's a great guy. And I can think about some people, some contacts maybe in the Raleigh area that might be interested in talking to you. There's,
okay,
you know, amazing people doing work, especially around, who are in their mid-20s that are doing some cool stuff.
Okay, great. So I guess that's another thing I'll follow up with you about, as well as the website information and the information that you can send me about how you started with BARK.
Yeah, sure.
And the last thing is, so one of my assignments requires me to find a venue to give a professional presentation about, I guess, whatever subject I choose, whether it's something I'm involved in professionally or in some other form. Do you have any suggestions as far as finding a public speaking opportunity, or do you know of any groups that are interested in having a public speaker?
Yeah, I would definitely reach out to maybe Lewis Sheets again.
Okay.
I know that, like, the clinic is a really great way of doing that. Marshall Brain is another great guy. He is a professor of entrepreneurship in the Department of Engineering at NC State.
Okay.
He's an incredible entrepreneur himself. He actually founded HowStuffWorks.com.
Yeah,
and, like, sold it for, like, $1 billion.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, back in the day. So, like, he's great. He has classrooms. So I definitely think between them, you could definitely find a public speaking opportunity. Other things that I really encourage people to do is reach out to, one of the things that we see right now in regards to issues regarding income inequality, I guess, quote unquote, gentrification in communities, you see that there's a divide in regards to a skills gap. So you find that, like, you know, people who are young now, maybe in tech, are able to have the kind of financial mobility that's just completely inaccessible to people that are maybe, you know, that didn't grow up in that era and, you know, don't have ease of access of information and the resources that they need. Maybe they already have a business that they need, but it's, like, hard to compete with, you know, a hip new startup that has, like, knows how to use Facebook ads, for example,
yeah.
Right? And I think that there's a lot of power in being able to reach out to communities and business leaders within communities and finding people that, you know, have just an interest and, like, have motivation to get there and maybe don't have access to some of those resources and, like, talking to there. One person that I know is really, really great and has been a mentor to me all through, you know, up until college and even now, Pierce Freelon, he ran for mayor in Durham last year. He's an incredible youthful spirit. That he's an artist. He's also a teaching professor of African American Studies and History at UNC, and I believe UNC Central. He also runs this thing called the Beat Making Lab at UNC, and is, you know, partnered with PBS on doing some really cool interactive. Kind of, you know, like, teaches people how to make beats in, like, and they've, like, gone to, like, different areas of the world and, like, help, like, resolve conflict with people just, like, writing raps and writing music. And,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's incredible. And he's in a band, and he's, like, a dad, and, like, he's just, like, I love the guy. His dad's design firm actually designed the African-American Smithsonian in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So really awesome family. His mom's like a award-winning singer. So he lives in Durham, and he has this incubator called Blackspace.
Okay.
They do a lot of cool coding workshops, a lot of like and things like that. Definitely someone I could definitely put you in touch with if you know you want to connect with maybe youth or like a subset of the population that, you know, they have an awesome space there, and they just have a motivation for good programming, so you can definitely reach out to them as well.
Perfect. That actually sounds like a great plan, and I also like that he's nearby in case I would like to, you know, meet face-to-face, and then, especially when it comes to giving the presentation, if I'm able to give it in person, that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay, so that you have been more than helpful. This went way better than I expected it to, so I definitely appreciate your time and your responses, and all the tips and advice you gave. And I'm sure the other students in my class will appreciate it as well. So thank you for taking the time to speak with me. And I will be following up with you once I post this, just so I guess if you want to take a listen, you can, and just see the responses from my fellow students as well. And then I'll just follow up about all these other things too, as far as the contacts and the other information about your company. So it's been great speaking with you, and I don't want to hold you up any longer, but I think we are all set.
Yeah,